Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Later this hour, we're going to be talking about an important piece of legislation at the Ohio State House called HCR 10. That's House Concurrent Resolution 10. A legislation to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the State of Israel that's happening by way of groups, who are anti-Semitic on college campuses here in the state of Ohio. And State Representative Andy Thompson, State Representative David Greenspan, are co-sponsored the legislation, and we're going to be talking about that with the bill sponsor, State Representative Andy Thompson, a little later this hour. But first, we have a special guest who is going to be in Cleveland on Monday night at the Act for Cleveland meeting, their monthly meeting, and that is Lori Cardoza Moore, and she is the founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. Now, this is an organization that has builds ties between Christian and Jewish communities, building a Jewish and Christian religious political coalitions in support of Israel. And she's done a number of work over the years. And please welcome with us Lori Moore. Lori, thanks for joining us today.
Chris, thank you for having me on the program. It's great to be with you.
Well, we're glad that you'll be coming to Northeast Ohio once again. Looking forward to hearing you on Monday night. Now, you have done a lot of work in relationship, basically advocating for the State of Israel, building relationship, building basically a good identity with the Christian community and Jewish interest in the State of Israel. Explain that to us.
Absolutely. So, Chris, our mission at Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and your audience can go to pjtn.org to learn more about what we're doing, but our mission is to educate Christians about our biblical responsibility to stand with our Jewish brethren and Israel against the rise of global anti-Semitism. We are seeing, we are witnessing a resurgence of anti-Semitism around the world. We've seen it happening in Europe. We've expected it there, unfortunately, again. But now we're seeing an increase of it here in the United States. And the only way to combat it, just like what happened, Chris, during the Holocaust, you know, Germany was a Christian-educated nation. But somehow the Christians in Germany set back, while not just 6 million Jews were murdered, but another 5.5 million other people. And that always puzzles me, because we've always been taught, at least I have as an evangelical Christian, that the Lord told us that we are to occupy until he comes. We are to be engaged in our culture. We are to have an impact. We're supposed to stand against injustice and defend justice and righteousness in our generation, in our communities. And so I wondered why didn't the church rise up? We know that there were many wonderful Christians who did. Martin Niemöller, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Corrie ten Boom, just to name a few, even Father Bruno, a Catholic priest. So there were some Christians who stood up, but even Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust memorial in Jerusalem, only had documented 23,000 righteous Gentiles or Christians who had stood against the Nazi regime and the innocent slaughter of Jews. And so, if the Lord says that he's going to wage war with Amalek from generation to generation, then we as Christians should expect that another Amalek or another Haman or another Hitler will arise in every generation. And we, as a body of believers who believe that God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants forever, then it is our responsibility to protect God's chosen, to protect the apple of God's eye.
Well, and that promise comes to us from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, where the Lord speaks, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This is that Abrahamic covenant in blessing. passing. So I agree with you that it's important for the church and for the United States to support the state of Israel. Now, of course, we see that currently with the new political leadership in Washington, a great overture of President Trump to visit the state of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and of course the first Senate president that actually visited the Western Wall and prayed. I mean, that was a very moving moment last month when President Trump made his Middle East trip. In fact, he announced that trip at the National Day of Prayer in the Rose Garden. I happened to be there with other guests that day. It was the first time that evangelicals or the church were invited back or the National Day of Prayer Committee to the White House in 8 years. Mr. Obama did not extend an invitation, according to Shirley Dobson, who I spoke with that day, said, you know, each year we went to him, but we were never afforded an opportunity or invite to the White House during the Obama years. Well, things changed with President Trump. And of course, that's the day in which he wrote the executive order on religious liberty. But he also announced this great trip to the Middle East. And I think he did great. I mean, obviously going to Saudi Arabia, then to Israel, and then to Rome and to Europe. By all indicators, it was a great success. And they're following up on that now with sending envoys to the Middle East to try to broker a peace deal. But I agree with you that there has been, in recent years, a rise in anti-Semitism, and again in this country. Now, of course, we have Islamic interests that are fomenting some of this anti-Semitic attitude on college campuses, and that's why HCR 10, which is basically a resolution, but a resolution can make a strong statement. It doesn't have the binding of legislation, but at the same time, it is the Ohio legislature. They're going to about to have hearings. Our organization, the Ohio Christian Alliance, will weigh in, and we're supporting this legislation. I know your organization's working with Mike Goldstein for the launch of this resolution at the Ohio State House. I think it makes a very strong statement, and it will basically shine a light on some of the problems that we're seeing right now.
Absolutely. And Chris, you bring up a very important point. And of course, Mike Goldstein is our Ohio State Director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And Representative Thompson's willingness to take this initiative on, and I have to brag about your state representative. There are very few state representatives that when you pick up the phone and you call them and ask them to do something, to introduce some pro-Israel resolutions or legislation, very few will immediately say right off the bat, you don't have to convince them, you don't have to send them any information, like most of them ask for, send me the details and I'll make up my mind. He immediately told me, absolutely, I will do it. And he has been consistent in that. It's so important for the state of Ohio and Ohioans to understand, as you had beautifully communicated, Genesis 12:3, God said he will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. Ohio just passed the anti-BDS bill. That bill was significant because it is binding by law and because it addresses the fact that Ohio will not do business with any company that is going to boycott Israel. Number one blessing. The reason why the anti-BDS resolution is so critically important on the heels of passing that anti-BDS bill is because the resolution exposes the anti-Semitic groups on Ohio State campuses that are peddling this anti-Semitic propaganda and fueling this hatred on the college campuses. We are seeing an increase of incidents on Ohio campuses, and it's critically important that the state legislature, that the citizens, through their state legislature, send a message to these anti-Semitic groups that we will not tolerate this type of activity on our college campuses. That, yes, our Jewish students will be safe, and yes, so will the Christian Zionists as well. It's very important that Christians rise up and support this initiative. We are using this opportunity with this resolution, and this is the key. The resolution, though it's not binding in law, it is a public statement by the state, the taxpayers who fund the university campuses in Ohio, and it is a statement by the legislature that they will pay attention to what's going on these college campuses. And a lot of what we're seeing, not just in Ohio, but across the country, is that the civil rights of the Jewish students are being violated. Why? because it intimidates the Jewish students so that they do not feel secure. If a Jewish, the Civil Rights Act that was passed in 1964, when it was introduced, was to address the issue of students' civil rights. Well, they have recently changed and added in 2004 language that stated that even if the Jewish students on the college campuses do not feel safe, then their civil rights have been violated. And what should happen is it should immediately trigger a federal investigation into the activity going on the college campus where this activity is happening to make sure to ensure the Jewish students are protected.
Well, this is so important. We're talking to Lori Cardoza Moore, and she is the founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation. She will be speaking at the Act for Cleveland meeting this coming Monday at 7 p.m. You can actually register for that at eventbrite.com, and we'll give you the details on that a little later in the program. Also, later in the program, we're going to be talking to the sponsors of HCR 10, State Representative Andy Thompson and Mike Goldstein, who is helping with the legislation. You know, Lori, as we consider the rise in anti-Semitism that we see being manifested here in the college campuses, and it's not being done in a vacuum, or it's not being done just by its own growth, but there are actually those who are fomenting it, and there are Islamic groups in America through the Muslim Brotherhood who are actually fomenting this anti-Semitism, similar to what happened back in the 30s. Hitler actually reached out to the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a whole history behind that of their hatred of the Jews paired with his hatred of the Jews. And then, of course, it was mainstreamed into Europe, into Germany, then into Europe. And then, the Holocaust ensues. In fact, Akron, Ohio actually became a national story this last week. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. But lost songs of the Holocaust have been found at the University of Akron in their archives. There was a psychologist that actually went to France in 1946 to talk to some of those who had actually lived through the concentration camps and the Holocaust. And what they did was express by song their experiences. And of course, it's very moving. And they actually sounds like ghosts from the past, because many of these people have passed on. In fact, these recordings were on the old way of by wire. The recordings were done by wire. So they didn't even have a playback unit. They had to reconstruct one. And then they took one of these spools of wire that was the recording that this psychologist, he had a grant at the time to conduct this study. Again, 1946, of these survivors of the Holocaust, freshly from their experience, and then they played back these songs. NPR played it this last week on Friday, and you can look it up online. In fact, at the Ohio Christian Alliance, we're going to have it posted on our web page, and the story is Lost Songs of the Holocaust Found in the University of Akron Archives. It really is haunting, but at the same time, it's very important that their voices be heard. These people have long since passed, as it's now been 74 years since the close of World War II. But at the same time, this is an important message as we go forward, because lest we forget what exactly happened in a modern society in which they discarded millions of people through the Holocaust. And there are the Holocaust deniers, and there's a whole new generation that don't understand exactly the kind of tyranny that brought that about. It just, Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, where they were targeted, where Jewish homes and businesses were targeted. So, you know, all of this is so important, and, I really applaud you for the work that you're doing.
Well, my mission is a mission of love, but it's a biblical mission. You know, God told the prophet Obadiah that in the latter days, he was going to wipe out the descendants of Edom because they stood by while their brother Jacob, or Israel, was held in captivity and they did nothing. We will all stand before Almighty God, before the great throne, the great white throne of judgment. And we will have to give an account, Chris, for what we did or what we didn't do. And this is key. Most Christians, this is the sad reality, Chris, is most pulpits do not preach these truths from the pulpit. Most pastors do not preach these things from the pulpit. It is a sad state of affairs. Pastor Joe Del Torio, who is there in the Cleveland area, has been an outstanding stalwart trying to speak this message and communicate this message to his congregation to make Christians aware that, yes, we are. Am I my brother's keeper? We absolutely are. But unfortunately, there were many Christians during the reign of the Nazis who would not speak out. We have an opportunity. You talked about the rise in these groups that are tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. These groups called Students for Justice in Palestine, also known as SJP. Also, the Muslim Student Association, also known as MSA. These groups are the groups, Chris, that are fueling this hatred and these lies on our college campuses that are inciting this violence against the Jewish students and the Christian Zionist students. We as Christians cannot tolerate our tax dollars going to fund and allow this type of activity on our college campuses. It is up to us to speak up. But you know what's even more frightening? Chris, in just 1 year, we have witnessed a 45% increase in anti-Semitic incidents on our college campuses in the United States. We think, oh no, it's not happening here. It absolutely is. And one of the other things that we're going to touch on Monday night is about the textbooks that we are using in our children's schools across the state. We are witnessing a growing number of textbook publishers who are publishing content that is anti-Semitic and anti-Judeo-Christian. It is anti-Israel. It is anti-West. And most parents are not aware of this, but it's this type of incitement in our secondary schools that is fueling this activity on our college campuses. I just had a parent in Williamson County. We've had a growing problem in Williamson County schools here in Tennessee. A parent just told me that she and her daughter went to Washington, D.C. to visit the Yad Vashem Memorial. This mother, who knew about the Holocaust but had never been in a museum and actually seen with their own eyes the travesty, the wickedness, the evil of Hitler and his henchmen, she came home and told her daughter's middle school teacher what she saw and how horrified she was. Do you know what the middle school teacher told this parent?
No.
Don't believe everything you see. You just talked about, Chris, about the Holocaust deniers.
Yes.
We say, no way. It can't happen on our watch. It absolutely is happening. And unless those of us who hear this message, unless we speak out, and unless we hold our educators accountable, unless we hold our state legislature accountable, Ohio has a receptive legislature. Thank God, Chris,
yes,
that you have them. You have representatives like Andy Thompson who will step up to the charge and who will take this issue on, and he will not back down. We have to start shutting down groups that violate the civil rights of other students on the college campuses. The Constitution does not protect the speech that incites violence and hatred on college campuses because it threatens the security of all, not just the Jewish students, but all the students on Ohio State campuses.
And education is the key. And what's happening here is, obviously the study of World War II, for instance, and world history, and the part of the Holocaust is being overlooked, dismissed, or diminished in the textbooks. And when that happens, then you have a whole new generation that has no idea what happened in World War II just 70-some years ago and what happened in the Holocaust. And that's what the great concern is. The great generation is passing away. They are now in their 90s. One of the projects we're doing is adding FDR's D-Day landing prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial. It passed Congress, signed by President Obama, and then now we're working on getting its placement at the World War II Memorial. But, you know, it will become an educational tool for school children for years to come. But if the textbooks are whitewashed from this type of historical facts, then, Lori, we're in real trouble going forward. And this is kind of the work that you've done in Tennessee. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So what we are encouraging parents to do all over the country during these summer months, when the schools are still open, parents and grandparents need to go into the schools and request reviewing the history, social studies, and geography textbooks. In Tennessee, we launched a campaign to expose the textbooks. We were able to change our state laws. Now in Tennessee, textbooks that are adopted have to be historically accurate, they have to be unbiased, and they have to reflect the values of the community. It is important that we, in our own counties, in our own school districts, address these issues. And when we find the content, because all the listeners have to do, Chris, is go to the section of the textbooks where it has the Middle East conflict. Look at how they portray Israel
Yes.
as the occupier. Look at the section on comparative religions. Look at how Islam, the textbooks violate the Constitution, because even our children's textbooks are supportive, are influencing and encouraging our children to favor one religion, Islam, over Christianity and Judaism. We just heard from a mother in a county in northern New York who just reviewed her daughter's textbooks. She has been going before her county superintendent and the school board members to try to remove this textbook. She is finding content. She asked, she wanted to audit one of her daughter's classes on Islam because they were bringing in a special speaker for 3 days to talk about Islam. The mother asked the teacher, when is the Christian speaker coming in? When is the Jewish speaker coming in to talk about Judaism and Christianity? Do you know what the teacher said? We don't have anybody scheduled. These textbooks and the curriculum violate our Constitution because they are clearly favoring the establishment of one religion, Islam, over all others. They are whitewashing the textbooks, as you said. They're removing these things in history. One of the greatest complaints about the Holocaust that I'm hearing from teachers is they are minimizing the Holocaust to one paragraph. Chris, how can you explain to students the gravity of allowing 6 million Jews and another 5.5 million other people in one paragraph? You cannot. You have to show the children the pictures. There are so many resources
That's right.
and
yeah.
so many tools that are available to teach our children about the Holocaust and how horrific it was that people would elect a leader that would allow this to take place. And then the citizenry would stand back, whether they were afraid, whether they were ignorant. And many people many Germans said, we didn't know this was going on. You cannot possibly say you didn't know this was going on right down the street when you have the ashes from the crematoria floating down like snowflakes on your community. You can't say this when they could smell the burning, the stench of burning dead bodies in the crematoria. They can say that they didn't know, but they did. And if they didn't know, shame on them that they weren't involved in what was going on, that all of these people died because Christians didn't rise up, Chris. If there was ever a time we're looking at Christians being slaughtered throughout the Middle East, and the only safe place, the only safe haven in the Middle East for Christians is Israel. There's no other place.
That's right.
We see churches being burned. We see children being attacked. It's outrageous. We cannot sit back silently. Our enemy has clearly stated that they're coming for the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, the pigs and the apes.
Lori Cardoza Moore, thank you so much for being our guest today. We're going to have you back. She will be speaking Monday night at the Act for Cleveland meeting. We'll give you more information about that on the other side. Lori, thanks so much for being my guest today.
God bless you, Chris. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Okay, and we're back, and we're glad that you've joined us. We're going to be talking about HCR 10 legislation at the Ohio State House to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the state of Israel, and it actually against increasing incidents of anti-Semitism. We're going to be talking with State Representative Andy Thompson. We're going to be getting him on the phone here in a few minutes, and also Mike Goldstein. But before we do that, I want to showcase this article that came out this last week, breaking news out of the University of Akron, and that is that lost songs of the Holocaust have been found in their archives on these older recordings that were done on a wire recorder. Now, this is an older piece of equipment. It literally looks like a little piece of welding wire that's wrapped around a spool. It was a way in which they did recordings in 1946. And here's what it reads. In the final months of World War II, as Allied forces began to liberate the prisoners of Nazi concentration camps, they captured on film the horrors they saw around them. Soon the whole world saw images of skeletal survivals bearing silent witness to what they and the millions more had been forced to endure. David Border was determined to give the survivor's voice. He was a psychologist at the time. He was given a grant, and in 1946, in summer of that year, he went to France, and he conducted a series of interviews. And these survivors who had been through this trauma, there had been one that had been through Dachau, there had been, you know, different concentration camps in Poland and in Germany, and they sang their experiences. And what we're going to do right now is what you're going to hear now is you're going to hear one of the voices in song, a survivor of the Holocaust in the concentration camps. Let's go to that right now.
Bei der Wind in ihr Guten reißen, brechen in seine Blusen, fühlen wie Giebel der Flammen, als darin Säule brennt. In ihr steht, in ihr guckt, da soll sich mit verleichten. In ihr steht, in ihr guckt, da soll sich ja mit Weile brennen.
That's just one of the recordings of a Holocaust survivor, and this was just discovered by the University of Akron. It was in their archives all these years, these seven decades. It was on a wire recording, and there wasn't even a machine to play it back, but the team there of researchers at the University of Akron reconstructed the machine, and they then played back what they've discovered, what was now a lost tapes of these voices of the Holocaust through song. We're going to post more of them up on our website and give you the links to the article. It's so important to understand this. These are voices from the past that are trying to tell us and give us a message. Now that many of the survivors of the Holocaust have passed away in recent years, and there's only a few of them left, even as there's only a decreasing number of World War II veterans that are with us. And as we close that chapter, it's important going forward that we not forget. Well, with that, we have, in the days in which we live, unfortunately, a rising tide of anti-Semitism that we can see in this country and also here in the state of Ohio, and this time it's on college campuses. It's not happening, as we said earlier, in a vacuum. It's actually being induced by Islamic groups that the Muslim Brotherhood are funding and supporting, and they are causing difficulty for Jewish students on college campuses. And here to talk about a resolution at the Ohio State House that seeks to showcase the problem and to address it in the Ohio Legislature, State Representative Andy Thompson and our good friend Mike Goldstein, who served in the U.S. Navy as an intelligence officer. He's retired now. He's an attorney, and he's working on this legislation. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you. And Mike, thank you for linking us up with Lori Cardoza Moore. We had a great interview with her, and it will play again this evening and, of course, on Saturday at 5 o'clock. Of course, she'll be speaking Monday night at the Act for Cleveland meeting, and we'll give the information how people can log on and register on Eventbrite. But with that, Representative, you've introduced this legislation along with State Representative David Greenspan, who himself is Jewish. Tell us about the legislation.
Well, Chris, it was, as you said, and I know you had Lori Cardoza Moore on earlier, this is in response to a real challenge that we have on campus. And you see, you know, not only do we have the problem of all kinds of crazy things that are being taught on college campuses, but we also have this rising threat and intimidation that goes on campus in an attempt to continue to hurt the nation of Israel. There are attempts to what we call BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanction. So whatever ways that Israel can be hurt financially, what other ways that normal discourse of things in favor of Israel, how attempts to intimidate them by the Muslim Brotherhood and other groups. It's very, very significant. It's a serious problem. And Mike Goldstein, I've been so grateful to have his help because he has kind of done a lot of research to better understand what is going on campus, which are the groups that are behind it, and just the detrimental impact that it has had on our Jewish students and others who are supporters of Israel on college campuses around the nation.
Mike, we have seen in recent years this anti-Semitic attitude on college campuses. And again, there are groups that are fomenting this. What are some of those groups?
Those groups would include Students for Justice in Palestine, the Muslim Students Association, both of which are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood organization in the United States. In fact, Muslim Students Association was the first Muslim Brotherhood organization to be established in the United States at the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana in 1963, and now there are hundreds of them throughout the campus, throughout the nation on campuses.
Well, this creates a problem because these folks are propagating basically, hatred towards Israel and to Jewish peoples. And this is how it all began in Germany, isn't it, Representative Thompson? Do we still have him? Okay.
Germany. It began in Germany, Chris, when you start dehumanizing people. You take away their civil rights. They did this in Germany with the Nuremberg Laws, which were Jim Crow times 12, you know. First, they took away their right to practice certain professions. You couldn't be a doctor, you couldn't be a lawyer, you couldn't be a teacher. If you were a shopkeeper, you couldn't sell to anyone but other Jews. And they just kept taking away civil rights and propagandizing against Jewish people, until the time came when they weren't considered people at all anymore. And then they were in a position where they could be killed without remorse by the millions. It starts small and it becomes very big. And it's a shame that it's happening in the beginnings of it are happening in the United States.
We have seen anti-Semitic acts here over the last number of months. We saw the desecration of Jewish cemeteries just outside of St. Louis and other places. I don't know if they apprehended the perpetrators. We've seen in Europe where there's been a growth of Islamic communities and or so-called safe zones in around Paris. We've seen the desecration of Jewish cemeteries there as well. You know, this is something that has to be brushed back immediately and dealt with and addressed, and that's what HCR 10 is all about. Mike?
Yes, I think so. I just wanted to mention something that came into me across my desk this morning. The Lawfare Project is a group out of New York which fights anti-free speech lawsuits brought by Muslim Brotherhood organizations against authors, trying to shut them down in advance of their books because they're declared Islamophobic. The Lawfare Project this week launched a groundbreaking civil rights lawsuit against San Francisco State University, accusing the administrators of fostering a hostile climate for Jewish students on campus. It says an extremely disturbing and consistent pattern of anti-Jewish animus has emerged at San Francisco State University, and that the administrators have knowingly fostered this discrimination and hostile environment. Basically, it's a hostile environment lawsuit under Title VI of the United States Civil Rights Act. So, if people are beginning to fight back, fighting lawfare suits with lawfare suits. And we just don't want it to get to the state in Ohio where it emulates what's happening in some places around the country like California on campuses.
Well, that's right. State Representative Annie Thompson, you still with us?
I am.
Okay. You've got a number of co-sponsors here on this legislation. What is the sentiment there in the State House as far as moving this forward?
You know, I think it should be very positive. I have spoken with both the Speaker and with the Minority Leader, and I think both are very positive. We are continue to be strong friends of Israel and the Ohio Legislature. So I think whatever we can do to buttress the things that we've done in the past to support Israel, and also, you know, we passed in the last session a bill to deal with the financial implications of attempts to boycott and divest from Israel. So, again, I hope that this one will. Speech on campus is vitally important. We're fighting it on many fronts. And I think that this bill will, again, it'll amplify and continue to stress the support that the Ohio legislature has for the state of Israel and for free speech and for those supporters of Israel on college campuses across the nation.
What incidents have been reported to your office here in Ohio from maybe Ohio State University or some of the other college campuses where there's been some of these events in the open and actually anti-Semitic statements have been hurled against the state of Israel? What reports have you received?
I would defer to Mike on those because I think Mike has done more of the research on them. But we have, you know, I am aware that it has been Ohio State in particular had a serious concern about this, that they have had incidents. I probably Mike could do a better job of addressing that issue.
Well, I'd like to talk about two incidents that are just reflective of what's going on. What the BDS movement on campus has been doing is the student bodies have been voting to recommend to the universities that they divest from all investments in companies dealing with Israel, both Israeli companies and American companies deal with Israel. And in 2014, the Student Senate was voting on one of those issues. Four Jewish students were speaking against the resolution. And the president of the Student Senate had them arrested. They were let off in handcuffs. And although those charges never went to trial because no one prosecuted the charges and they expired for lack of a speedy trial, the students, those four students, and now they're probably mostly graduated, will have that arrest record on their record throughout their lives when they attempt to get a job.
Where was this?
They'll have to explain it. Ohio University.
What year was that, Mike?
September 2014.
And
2 weeks after the incident, the treasurer of the Student Senate at Ohio University resigned. He got up at a meeting unexpectedly and resigned. And what he said of the Jewish students was, which reflects the behavior that was shown against the Jewish students, quote, "We disrupt them when they're speaking, we chant when they sit down, and we have them arrested for speaking out. All legitimacy we had went out the door in handcuffs last Wednesday. This is no longer a government, it is a circus," unquote. So the treasurer of the state senate, Ohio University, resigned in protest about these Jewish students being arrested in handcuffs. Some of them were from the Northeast Ohio area, from Beechwood. And they'll have that arrest record in their own record the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And that's just about 45 minutes away from my, it's just about 45 minutes away from where I reside in Marietta. So it's everywhere. It's all over, and it's a real concern.
Representative, were you aware of that incident at the time in 2014 when this occurred?
No, I was not.
But this is the kind of thing in which you've been willing to introduce this legislation because of these. And again, I think the media, you know, I have to say, Mike Goldstein, I didn't hear about this in the media at the time, and that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, I think it is. I think it's a very big deal. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was something very recent. The Canary Mission put out a report of Cleveland anti-Semitism, and they did it in April 2017. And in it, they track the social media outputs of several students and former students from Cleveland State, from Lorain Community College, et cetera. And some of them are, you know, actually out in the community now. They're no longer students, but they were. Hospital employee, a cook, a rental car branch manager, a petroleum corporation manager, and a real estate agent. But there's, I think, about 21 of them. Yes, 21. And it's a very long and detailed report. And these social media posts by these people, most of whom are associated with Students for Justice in Palestine and other Arab organizations on campus, are not just anti-Semitic. Each person's posts are broken down into anti-Israel, anti-Jew, anti-Black, and anti-gay. And to read that report is sickening. And that's what's going on up here in our on our campuses in terms of intimidation about against specific students. So it's spreading, and I think it needs to be publicized, and it needs to be denounced by everyone who is right-thinking.
We're talking with State Representative Andy Thompson, and we're also talking with Mike Goldstein, who's an attorney and representing Proclaiming Justice to the Nations and the legislation HCR 10, legislation to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and increasing incidents of anti-Semitism in Ohio colleges and universities. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
We're talking with State Representative Andy Thompson and also Mike Goldstein. We're talking about HCR 10, a resolution at the Ohio State House to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against the State of Israel and the increasing incidence of anti-Semitism, and draw attention to that. This is a legislation resolution that is going to have a hearing in committee in the Ohio House. The Ohio Christian Alliance is fully supporting it. This is what the first provisions of the bill state. Whereas the citizens of the state of Ohio have a history of standing against bigotry, oppression, discrimination, and injustice, and whereas Ohio and Israel have a long history of friendship and a great allies in support of each other's interests, and whereas the State of Israel and the only democracy in the Middle East is the greatest friend and ally of the United States in the Middle East, and whereas the Ohio committed to increasing the ties, interactions in business, government, the arts, culture, and education between the State of Ohio and the State of Israel, further strengthening the historic ties between the State of Ohio and the Nation of Israel. And the resolution goes on. We'll have it posted on our website a little later. You can also visit the Ohio General Assembly website and just look up HCR 10. Representative, what's your anticipation for this? What do you expect to happen, and what's your best hope for this resolution? What it will result in? I think we've lost Representative Thompson. Mike, go ahead and answer that question.
I think we have.
Go ahead.
Well, the resolution itself has a couple of points that I want to make here that are important regarding what we expect. One of these is a very strong free speech position that's in the resolution regarding campuses. It encourages the resolution states that the members of the General Assembly encourage university and college administrations to curb any impediments to free speech and any abridgment of free speech on campus by any individuals or groups, and urge these college administrators to take disciplinary action against all students, faculty, and administrators who engage in actions that abridge free speech on campus in violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution. So the resolution encourages administrators to take action against people, students, who shout down other people who are trying to make their positions known, who intimidate them, who boo them off the stage. And I think that's very important. It also recognizes, the resolution recognizes that the Jewish people are indigenous to the land of Israel, condemns all attacks on the people of Israel, supports Israel's right to engage in lawful acts of self-defense, which the European countries want them not to do anymore, and oppose all attempts to deny the legitimacy of Israel as a sovereign state. All of these are very important points that are in the resolution. As Representative Thompson states, the resolution is getting a widespread support from both parties in the State House, and it should pass without too much trouble. I'm looking forward to the hearing process, testifying as a proponent of this resolution in Columbus, and other people will be doing the same, including people who have experienced the intimidation on campus personally, and also experts who are very familiar with what is going on nationally when you don't stifle this in the beginning.
Reading from another provision in the resolution, it says, whereas anti-Israel activities and activities promoting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel are widespread in the state of Ohio, including on several university campuses and in other Ohio communities, and contribute to anti-Semitic and anti-Zionistic propaganda threats to both American and Israel Jewish students and result in deliberate interference with the learning environment of all students. And whereas the dramatic increase in boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign activities on college campuses around the country has resulted in increased animosity and intimidation against Jewish students, negatively impacting student programming of vital importance to all American students related to the State of Israel and politics in the Middle East. I mean, we have seen this intimidation growing over the recent years and months, Mike, and it's a great concern. I think this is a very timely piece of legislation, this resolution, to draw attention to it at the Ohio State House. We're fully in support of it. Can you tell us some of the other groups that are supporting the legislation?
Well, Act for America is supporting the legislation. I haven't spoken to anyone directly in the administration of the Republican Jewish Coalition, but I know that individual members of that organization are supporting it, as I'm sure is the Zionist Organization of America. There are a lot of educators who support it. I don't know of any formal groups who, I mean, it's a brand new resolution.
Well, and again, with Lori Cardoza Moore coming in Monday, you're meeting with pastors as well. You know, we've run out of time today. Mike, thank you. What you're doing, looking forward to working with you on this HCR 10, this legislation. It's fantastic what you're doing, and we're going to be right there with you step by step, working it through the legislative process. Mike, thanks so much for being my guest today.
It was very good being with you, Chris. Thanks.
God bless you, my friend. And that was Mike Goldstein, again, an attorney and working with the Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, Lori Cardoza Moore's organization. And, of course, she'll be speaker at the Act for Cleveland meeting on Monday night. And you can basically register for that event at eventbrite.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.